Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Diana and Nick? Can you feel it? Is it working?
I can feel it.
Cool, man. Cool. So this is Mr. Michael Dean. I am the Iron Hamster, and this is a radio show. It's called The Freedom Fiends, and we talk about liberty. And we're the kind of people, you know, a lot of people say, I want government so small I can drown it in my bathtub. We want government so small that it's theorized about by particle physicists. That's our co-hosts, Davi Barker, came up with. I really like that a lot.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we got Ms. Diana Kyler there. What is your radio wrestling name? The Laughing Kitty, right?
Laughing Kitty. Meow, 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 meow.
Yep. And we got Mr. Nick Hay, and she's just back from her junket as a pleasure slave for some sheik for some sheiks in the Middle East. And we got Mr. Nick Hazelton, the Hazy Yak. Are you there, Nick? Are you safe? Have you been contacted?
I'm here.
Yeah, excellent.
I have not been contacted by the government.
Excellent, excellent. And yeah, we Nick is joining us from an interesting program. He is in public school, in charter school. Nick is in the 10th grade. He's 16. And we do say on the Freedom Fiends here that we are training the next generation of liberty yakkers. And it has never been more true than with Nick being a third wheel on the Freedom Fiends, because Nick is literally the next generation. Like, I think he's younger than Diana's daughter, isn't he?
I think he is.
Yeah.
I know my daughter's 23. So
yeah. So Nick's in 10th grade, and he is getting, this is awesome. I wish this had been available when I was your age. Nick would do this anyway, but Nick is getting school credit in 10th grade for being on this show and writing about it, and also doing a podcast. Is that awesome or what, Nick?
It's pretty great. I love it.
Tell me about it. How's that work?
So there's this idea called project-based learning, and it allows kids to do things that they would like to do and get credit for it. So I want to do this, and I have come up with a way that I can get language arts and social studies credits by writing notes, speaking, and doing research. And the same thing with this show. It's a speaking rubric that I can meet these requirements since it's live, so it counts.
Yeah. Even though it might be past your bedtime, or it will be by the end of the show. But do you have school tomorrow?
I do.
Do you get to go in late with a note from your parents because you did radio till 1 in the morning?
I have a study hall in the morning, and I can get away with missing that.
Oh, but it's actually till midnight your time, because you're on the West Coast up in Oregon, and you're a yak farmer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have a podcast. What's your podcast called, and what's the web address for it?
My podcast is called Anarcho-Yakitalism, and the website is an-yak.com, an-yak.com.
That is so cool. That's pretty awesome. And yeah, you, I had to do I was honored to do a Skype chat with your teacher and your mother, and to discuss.
There was a few more people too. Okay. I don't know if you heard them.
I think those are the only two that really talked, or maybe they had similar voices, but yeah.
I think they did.
Yep. I mean, the closest thing I had to doing that was in college, in my second and last year of community college. Second year was my last year of community college. I did an independent study in radio communication. This is kind of funny because I went to college. It was not journalism school. It was not a place people go to learn radio, but they had a radio class, you know, broadcast class taught by somebody who, you know, used to be like the local weatherman on the local station or something. I don't really know how much information he had to prepare people for a future in radio, but probably more than the average person for sure. But so I did that for a year and a half. And then the last semester there, I proposed and was allowed to do an independent study, which was basically multi-track recording. And this is, you know, this is 1984, where the average person did not have This is, you know, before computer recording, and most people had to go in a recording studio to do multi-track recording. So I basically did it with two tape recorders and played all the instruments on a one-hour piece called The Solstice Suite. And it was kind of a spacey rock and roll version of the Vivaldi piece of the Four Seasons. You know, it had a 15-minute movement for each season, and the beginning was the same as the end, so it was cyclical. And I did that and got an A, and it was the only class in college that I actually went to every day. Like, I got up and went to the college and went to the recording studio on my, you know, they didn't have an engineer or anything. Their recording studio was literally a broom closet with, like, you know, no sound conditioning on the walls, and a couple reel-to-reel tape recorders and no mixer and a couple mics. But I really enjoyed it. And I actually, my sister found, you know, I never did anything with it, but I made cassette copies of it and gave them to family members and friends. And my sister was cleaning out my mother's attic after my mother died, and actually, like, had all her stuff in boxes for years, and finally went through the boxes and found that tape and a few other things I'd sent my mother and sent them to me. And I hadn't heard it, you know, since 1985, probably. And I didn't have a cassette player, so I went to the Salvation Army and spent $5 buying a cassette player and imported the whole project into my computer and mastered it from the cassette tape, and it sounds better than it did when it was made. And that's on my website, michaelwdean.com somewhere. Or if you search The Solstice Suite and Michael Dean on Google, it'll probably come up. So we'll talk more in the second hour when we're joined on the rural stations in Wyoming and South Dakota, where they play us delayed for that hour at 4 a.m. to 5 a.m., which would be kind of cool because we're going to talk about rural stuff because, you know, literally, like, that's drive time for, you know, people going to agricultural jobs in those states. So we will have Nick talk more about his yakitalism with yaks in that hour. So, Diana, tell me about your you just got back from Dubai, which is a country most Americans don't know exists. It is it's an incredibly rich oil nation, town, you know, city. And it's the capital of the United Arab Emirates, which is, you know, people never heard of that either. They're like, wait, Saudi Arabia? No, it's the United Arab Emirates. And, you know, it's kind of a playground for, like, you know, rich oil magnates and things like that.
Rich people in general.
Yeah.
Rich Europeans. Yeah.
So recap the experience quickly and then tell us in detail about what's happened since we last talked to you when you were there this week.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I had a great time. I mean, there's tons to do. I went to the beach. I swam in the Persian Gulf. I'm so happy to be able to report I did that.
Isn't that treason? Isn't that illegal for Americans?
Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm probably considered a member of Al-Qaeda or something. I don't
know.
Probably
on a watch list for going there. But you were going there because your boyfriend was going there on business.
Yeah. He was on business there. And I actually flew there by myself, which I was proud of. I mean, even at my age, I felt like a grown up flying all by myself to Dubai.
Have you traveled outside of the U.S. before?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. I went to Africa a couple of years ago, but I went with a group.
Yeah.
I went to Kenya, but, and you know, that was interesting. We had a layover in London for about 10 hours. So I spent some time in the city of London, but anyway, so in Dubai, I've been to Las Vegas before, and I would compare it to some degree to Las Vegas, but
without the sin.
Well, there's definitely sin.
Yeah.
Definitely sin.
But it's not as obvious.
It's not as obvious.
For listeners out there who are conservative, not only politically, but with, you know, moral kind of stuff, if you are shocked and appalled by the things you can see in Vegas and think they should all be illegal, you should get out and move to Dubai because it is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm not saying Sharia law is a good thing, but I'm saying, like, if you're a conservative, you might like Sharia law because it, you know, like, put it this way, homosexuality is punishable by death in Dubai. So it's a conservative paradise, man.
Yeah, you know, it actually doesn't seem Sharia law is. It informs I did some research on it. It informs the actual law of the land in the UAE overall, United Arab Emirates. But in Dubai, it seems to be exceptions.
It's a Sharia-free zone for tourists.
It kind of is. I was looking at my boyfriend and I tried to avoid PDA,
public display of affection.
Yeah, public displays of affection.
Because you're not married, or because even if you were married, it wouldn't be kosher. I mean,
exactly.
Hillel.
right. And even as a married couple, it's not Hillel. But toward the end, we kissed a few times, but then I looked it up, and so apparently
did you break the law?
We broke the law.
Well, yeah, in Saudi Arabia, Davy Barker lived there when he was younger. His dad was stationed there or working there as a contractor or something. And, he said, like, literally, like, there is something there called the police of vice and virtue.
Yeah, there are, definitely. They don't have that, though, in Dubai. Yeah. I mean, so, people aren't walking around, fining you or warning you for doing things like that. But, it's there. It just doesn't seem to be as enforced as maybe, other Muslim countries. And, and one of the things I noticed too, is that, five times a day they have, prayer time, and you hear it from the mosques, the call for prayer, and it's actually very beautiful to hear it. But I don't think I saw a single person rolling out their prayer mat to pray, in public at least. And I don't know if it's something that is expected to do in public, but from what I read, it is kind of an expected thing that you say your prayers at the appointed times. But I didn't even see those that were pretty obviously Muslim, because they were wearing a traditional dress, really reacting to it. I've never been in any other, Muslim country, but it didn't seem to be as strict as what I had thought that it would be in a Muslim country. Yeah. But I had a great time. There were a lot of really fun things to do. The mall is huge. I went on a desert safari. That was cool.
All right. Yeah. We'll have more when we get back from this trip to the free market. We're going to take a pause for a cause here. Freedom Fiends. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow.
Meow. Meow. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to some people. So, somebody wrote me an email. I can't find the email right now, but some fan wrote me an email or posted a comment on the site, basically said, really like the show, but why are you guys on radio? You seem to have all these constraints. You can't swear, and you have to do this intro and outro and break every, few minutes. He just kind of sounded baffled, like, with the internet, when anybody can do a podcast now, why would you be on radio? And there are several answers to that.
We're legit, man.
Yeah, that is one thing. I mean, really, a radio show does have a respectability that a podcast doesn't have. And the reason is, that's not the main reason, but it is a reason. Because anybody can do a podcast, but to do a radio show on syndicated radio, it means that somebody, in this case, Genesis Communications Network, has decided that you're good enough that they will spend money to put you on the air. Like, we're not paying to be on the air. And we have ad spaces that we sell. We mostly give them away. I mean, I work about 30 hours a week on this and pretty much barely make any money at it, and do it as a hobby and not a hobby, as a mission. I'm on a mission to bring liberty to people. So, and to train the next generation of liberty yakkers. So the main reason, though, that I wanted to be on radio, and that I go through all the hoops to be on radio and don't cuss and, you know, deal with ad breaks instead of just, you know, rambling for an hour. And we used to be a podcast. We are the only radio show that I know of. And I asked the head of Talkers Magazine, and he said he didn't know of any either. Although maybe most of them wouldn't wear it like a badge of honor like we do. We are, as far as I know, the only talk show that started as a podcast. A lot of talk shows quit radio and become podcasts now because, you know, they want to be able to cuss and they don't want to deal with ad breaks. But yeah, the main reason that I, you know, basically moved heaven and earth to structure my life in such a way to get on radio is that on radio, we reach people we would never, ever, 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 ever reach on the internet, because the way people consume radio is far different than the way they find things on the internet. On the internet, they generally find things they're looking for, or a friend of theirs with, you know, similar ideas sends them something, which kind of means you end up on the, and we're proud to be on the internet, and we put all these up as a podcast on the freedomfiends.com site. And yes, I did revamp the site. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
It's dark.
It's dark. And it's basically
and purple.
It's kind of gothy looking. It's basically because my cat died and I'm in mourning. You know, one of our cats passed away a couple of weeks ago. So we're in mourning. And I had a problem with the website where I couldn't change the look of it for about a week. It was something to do with a server setting. We finally fixed it. So I was able to put the black armband on the Freedom Fiend site, but I actually just kind of like it and may leave it. And I think some people may hate it, but I don't care because it's the internet and I can do what I want. But yeah, the way people consume radio is they either channel flip or more likely have a talk station that they like in their town that they listen to. And we're on 34 stations in America and adding more all the time. And Yay. Yeah, and we're on 34 stations after, you know, a year and a half on radio. When Free Talk Live kind of paved the way for that. They are the other, you know, totally only about a voluntary society radio show out there. There's only two of them on actual syndicated radio, and it's us and Free Talk Live. And they paved the way for it. They started on radio 10 years ago, and they're on 165 stations. But at a year and a half, they were, I think, still on one station. And it took them like 4 years, I think, to get up to 20 or 25 stations. So we're where they were like after 5 years at a year and a half. And part of that is because they paved the way for it. And part of it is because the industry has changed. And part of it is because the first year we were on, I worked insanely hard at calling, you know, like 6 hours a day at calling stations. I don't have the time to do that anymore. But so the reason we're on radio is because we are on a mission to bring actual liberty to people. Now, we agree with, you know, most conservative talk hosts on a lot of things. We think that Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. We don't like taxation. We don't like the government telling us what to do in our private life. But unlike a lot of conservatives who say all those things and then aren't consistent on them on every issue, we are consistent on those on every issue. You know, none of us smoke pot. Diana and I are in recovery for many, many years. Nick is Nick's a square teenager. He doesn't smoke pot. You know, basically, but we think pot should be legal. And that's just one of the many tiny, you know, I mean, that's to a lot of people, that's like, oh, you're that kind of show. No, we're not that kind of show. We're the kind of show that thinks that, you know, that we don't take drugs, but we think that the war on drugs is as immoral as, you know, slavery was. And we can't believe that they still pass laws against that kind of stuff. And it's ridiculous. And, you know, we're that way about everything.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshives.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. trueshives.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean.
Yeah.
And so Diana won't stop meowing.
Sorry.
So this guy named Caleb, Campion, maybe C-A-M-P-I-O-N, wrote and asked me, And this is, I'm laughing because I'm doing the thing that irritated him that he asked me about. Like, why do you do radio? Because you have to like break and reintroduce yourself every, you know, every 13 minutes or something. And he says, I do love the show, but it confuses me why you would do it in this form when you had a perfectly good podcast. I also love the technology of radio, but it does not seem like the best way for one person to talk to another. As a person who listens to large amounts of podcasts, it took a long time for me to get used to listening to Free Talk Live and The Fiends. Having to recap topics every break and reintroducing the hosts was a very something culture. I can't read this word. I can't read the writing in this email. Was a very tilting, I guess you meant tilting culture shock to a podcast listener like myself. Not asking for any changes on the show or anything, just thought it might make good conversation. Thanks for making great content and making it available over a leaf blower. Oh yeah, this is a guy who does, he runs a landscaping company, and he listens to our shows and other podcasts with his, you know, earbuds in or headphones while he's doing like really loud physical labor. And he says that he loves the production quality of the Freedom Fiends because it's one of the few shows that he can actually really hear and understand the words while he's running a leaf blower. So the other reason that we opt for radio, and you know, anybody who feels that way, and I know there are people who feel that way, but anybody who feels that way, we're going to get kicked off radio by President Hillary, probably her first week in office, because she ain't going to put up with free speech. You know, or she'll, what I think she'll actually do is, you know, it'd be kind of hard to outlaw free speech. I think what they will do, this is my prediction, is that the next president, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, will probably get upset with the fact that people can still yell at the government, oh, to millions of people. So I think they'll probably say, well, local radio, you know, since we have the internet to share information and everyone's on it pretty much. Local radio needs to be to serve the communities. So they're going to like downgrade the priority of syndicated national radio like this. And they're going to say, you know, they're going to like have kids from the local school come in and talk about how great the government is and call it, you know, local news or something. That's Hillary my prediction. Youth. Yeah. Hillary Youth. That's my prediction. Yeah. But, you know, the other reason that we're on radio is that I'm on radio is because it's been a lifelong dream. I'm 50 years old. I'm 50. And I was born in 1964. And since I was about 10, I wanted to be on radio. I took like ham radio classes when I was 11 at the local community college because I wanted to learn about radio and I wanted to be on radio. And that was pretty much the only way back then that you could hope to be on radio and be heard outside your town. So, you know, I've always been into this idea of radio, but I also like it as a method for spreading information to new listeners that would never ever find it otherwise. You know, because the average person listening to Hannity or Rush, you know, I mean they want smaller government, they don't want to be messed with, but those hosts aren't really consistent. And a lot of times, people who are more libertarian minded, which is the opposite of authoritarian, you know, I'm using small L libertarian. A lot of times people who are more libertarian, if they don't know where to find stuff on the internet and they're radio people, like a lot of people my age or older, especially, they'll listen to Rush and Hannity because most of the time they agree with them, you know, but there are people that also really want their rights all the way and think, you know, the listeners think they know that they want that there's no such thing as half free. And if you're in favor of gun rights, you have to be in favor of, you know, pot rights. And if you're in favor of pot rights, you know, you have to be in favor of raw milk rights. And if you don't like Obamacare, you know, you also shouldn't want any number of things that conservatives might want, like, you know, a huge military industrial complex that saps your money. You know, or if you're against the Federal Reserve or think it should be audited, you should be against a huge military, because that's where the Fed is pumping all its money that they're making. Yeah. That's why they exist, is to feed that beast. So the other thing is, I will say this, it's a big kick for me, and it always has been, and it is every day I do this, to have to, or to be able to, I was going to say, there's something about having to be at the same place at the same time, because I've kind of structured my life in such a way for the past 10 years that I don't have to do that. I work at home and rarely have to like do anything at a certain time. And I think also that doing syndicated radio has put some much needed structure back into my life to where I'm actually like doing something at the same time every day and being responsible with it, which is, you know, I kind of like chose to not do that. And I've done a good job with not needing that. But the other thing that is, you know, basically he was saying like, you know, why do you be on radio? You can't cuss. Here's my bottom line on this. I dig being on radio. It's a kick for me. It reaches people we'd never reach otherwise. It's also more monetizable. Like if I, you know, we can get advertisers who would not advertise on a podcast because that advertising dollar on radio is worth more than an advertising dollar on a podcast generally. So the other thing is, though, I would rather not be able to cuss and be able to scream at the government on government-controlled radio, which I just get a big kick out of. I would rather not be able to cuss and get to scream at the government than be able to cuss like a sailor and not be able to say anything critical about the government. You know, and that's kind of how like television is in the UK. Like in the UK, you can't be hypercritical of the government. I mean, you can kind of like poke fun at them, but you can't be hypercritical of them. But they cuss on TV. They say four-letter words on TV. But you can't, you know, even on like the main government-controlled channels like BBC. But I hope that answers your question, Caleb. And we do radio because we can and because we like it and because it's rare and unique and beautiful. And somebody's got to do it. Somebody, you know, there's a million podcasts out there. Or not a million, but there are, there are over 100 libertarian podcasts. And a lot of them, I've helped improve their audio by giving them audio tips. And they can go to my website, creamyradioaudio.com, if you want to learn more. But, you know, there's 100 podcasts out there that don't break every 13 minutes and go to a break and aren't stuffed with ads wall to wall and do cuss and, you know, can do whatever they want and can do it anytime they want and not have to sit down in a certain place at a certain time and do it in the old media kind of fashion. But somebody's got to be bringing liberty to radio, and it's us, and it's Free Talk Live. So yeah. So Diana, you just got back from the Middle East. You flew back from the Middle East, and boy, are your arms tired. But Diana, and this is going to be the name of the episode tonight. Diana, show me on the doll where the government touched you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, it actually wasn't the U.S. government this time. It was the UAE government that touched me. Yeah, I am in the airport on the way back, and I feel like, and I don't know for sure, and I tried to do some research and tried to find some evidence for this, but I didn't really have time to find anything, that it's only flights from Dubai, because that's where I was Dubai, but to the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., that we had to go through several layers of security.
I feel safer already.
I know, several layers of security. And at the gate, we had to have our bags searched. And I actually, for the first time ever, was patted down.
Ew.
Yeah, it was touched. And
it was in Dubai?
It was in Dubai.
That's interesting because I think it's not Hillel for a, and that's the Muslim version of kosher. I think it's not Hillel for a Muslim man to touch.
It wasn't a man. It wasn't a man. And I don't think it's ever a man in the U.S. either that touches a woman.
Was it a person from that country or was it, did they?
Yeah.
Have, okay.
Yeah, it was the woman, I assume so. She was in traditional dress. And I actually did go behind a curtain because, you know, even though I've stated before that the next time that happens to me in the U.S., I'm going to refuse to go into a private room, I didn't really feel very comfortable or safe to say, no, I want you to do it out here because I don't really want to end up in jail in Dubai.
Yeah, there you go.
So so I did go into a behind a curtain.
Yeah, and political activism in Middle Eastern countries has a lot higher of a you have a lot more guts if you do that there than if you do it here. You still have guts if you do it here, but defying the government in Dubai is you better really believe what you're doing pretty strongly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I proceeded behind the curtain and I was touched in many, private areas.
Ew.
And, I wasn't groped, you know, but she still, you know, touched between my, you know, whatever. And,
you know, yeah, check
all
this
over
out.
My body.
Check out. I mean, and that happens in America too. If people think that's like something we shouldn't have said on radio and it was almost bordering on it, I mean, it's not illegal, but it's like not the kind of stuff we say on radio generally, but I'm not going to, I'm fine with that you did it. Here's why. Think about the fact that your country and other countries, you know, our country in America, they do things to women against their will that if you say it on radio, it sounds wrong. There's something wrong with that.
There is something wrong with that. Yeah. And I mean, and the fact that I kind of stopped myself from saying where exactly they touched me, you know, it's like, there is something wrong with that. And the thing about it is, though, is that I'm not so sure that that would happen if it weren't for the government. And I'm not saying the Dubai government in cooperation with the U.S. government, essentially.
Brought to you, tyranny brought to you by the Dubai government in cooperation with the U.S. government.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then on the flight back, so my flight there, because of the prevailing winds, only took about 14 hours. And I'm not exactly sure of the route that we took, but I know that we were rerouted on the way back. And it's so my flight on the way back, where it would normally have taken 15 and a half, maybe 16 hours, ended up taking 17 hours because we were rerouted away from the areas in the Middle East, like Iraq, where ISIS apparently is prevalent.
Why? Because they're afraid of the plane getting shot out of the air with a missile guidance system?
Well, yeah, obviously, but they didn't say that. You know, they said, we were rerouted because of, you know, the government, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and the thing is that a plane can be shot out of the air with a shoulder-mounted, you know, Stinger missile or a missile even from, you know, like Russian army surplus from the Cold War missile, which you can get anywhere in the world, you know, at a bazaar next to the scarves and the fig treats. But that can be done with a plane when it's landing or taking off. But to shoot a plane out of the air, you know, a commercial jet that's 5 miles up in the air or whatever, requires like a guided missile system with a truck and a computer operation system. But ISIS has that stuff largely because, you know, the U.S. armed insurgents against Al-Qaeda, and then they turned into,
exactly.
So that's your tax dollars at work, y'all.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. This is the guy that reintroduces himself every segment, Michael Dean. So we're Freedom Fiends. And you know, this is kind of cool. Our co-host Diana is now doing audio books or audio articles for the Mises Institute. There's one on here. Let's see, where is this one? What is it? Diana Kyler, Rothbard on Self-Defense in War, recorded by Diana Kyler, and she's going to be doing more of these. I will link this in the show notes. That's pretty cool, man. I really dig that you're doing that. That is, the Mises Institute are people literally that will keep this around for 100 years, like, because they act like a library and they do it right. Although their web, that pay, I can't play that file right now, but I'm sure it's a momentary issue. So
they just changed their website, it looks like. So.
Yeah, well, I just changed mine and everything still works too. So maybe they should hire me. All right. So you just flew back from Dubai and boy, are your arms tired. Now, let me ask you this. It's been my experience when I have flown to Europe. And, you know, have you ever been out of the U.S.?
No.
Canada?
No, not at all.
You haven't been to Canada? Canada's like an hour from you or 2 or 3 hours from you.
It's more like 6.
Okay, but you know, it's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should ride your yaks up there, man. You could do it to raise money for some good cause. Like, you know, teenager high school student is riding his yak from Oregon to Vancouver. I think you should do it, man.
That would be awesome.
Vancouver looks absolutely beautiful. I really want to go there.
Well, that's where they film a lot of Hollywood movies now because it's, you know, geographically not that far from Hollywood. It's a quick flight straight up the coast. And it's a very generic looking city. Like the skyline doesn't have the, recognizable buildings that most cities have. And it can literally double for almost any city in the world. And the surrounding environments have a lot of options the same way that LA does. You know, I don't think they have desert, but they have, you know, forest and ocean and city and country and farmland and mountains and valleys. And yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So I wanted to ask you, it's been my experience when I go fly a plane to, when I don't fly a plane to Europe, when I get, take a plane to Europe, the jet lag is really bad on the way over and it's not as bad on the way back. Have you found that?
Well, I actually didn't have a hard time with it on the way over. I was fine. Like,
you did.
Yeah, well, I got there.
You took a big nap when I wanted to do a show. I remember
Well, yeah, on the way back. On the way back, it was bad because I didn't sleep very well on the plane. And so when I got home today, I took a shower because I was so grungy. I wanted to burn my clothes. But I took a hot shower and lay down on the couch and just like promptly fell asleep and slept for like 7 hours on the couch.
Yeah. So, it might be different with flying all the way to Dubai, but I know that flying to, and you flew east, right? You didn't go the other way around the world.
Yeah, no, I flew east and it was direct from Atlanta, which was pretty nice. You know, like I said, on the way over, it wasn't bad. And
don't they say in the South that when you die, you got to go through Atlanta to get to heaven?
I've never heard that, but that's pretty good. Yeah. But yeah, on the way back, it was kind of miserable anyway.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that was just the trip and not the direction, but there's something about, it might be something to do with the spin of the earth, or it might be just something to do with the way time works and the way it changes over time zones. But I have found, and a lot of people I've talked to who travel a lot to Europe say that the jet lag is a lot worse on the way over than it is on the way back. Although that could also be a function of, like, you know, if you're coming from America and going to somewhere that's not your home and, it's not your bed, it's not the things you're used to, different noises, different smells, different food, whatever, you know, maybe it's that when you go back, you're like, and you just go to sleep as soon as you get home. But I actually had jet lag going to Porkfest, going from Wyoming to New Hampshire this year. Which is basically just a function of, you know, I used to be out in public all the time, like out in the bars every night. I was the kind of guy that was like listed in the phone book. I was in a popular rock band and like everybody knew where I lived. And like literally like people I barely knew or did not know would knock on my door and be like, "Hey man, I like your band. Can we hang out?" And I'd be like, "Sure." And now like if a stranger knocked, like I answer the door with a gun, you know, not pointed at the people, but you know, I'm not that open to the world. And it was the first time I'd flown in 7 years. And I think that it was, you know, I didn't get to sleep a lot. You know, we were on a noisy plane with babies yelling, and then we were on a tinier, noisier plane with babies yelling, and, you know, and I was out of my comfort zone. So going there, I didn't sleep right the first night. I mean, my wife slept at 8 p.m., and I didn't sleep until 8 in the morning, and then slept like 4 hours, and then we went to Porkfest. But on the way back, it was like, I came home and just went, that was easy, and went to bed. So went to bed, not wet the bed. I went to bed. It sounded like wet the bed. It was not. So we'll be back with hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. And we'll
Worms.
Be
on.
Yeah.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And if that makes no sense to you, I wrote a blog post about our new intros for Hour 1 and Hour 2 at freedomfiends.com/blog. And I also revamped the look of that site, too. So go to the Freedom Fiends blog. And so we're talking to Diana Kyler and Nick Hazelton. Nick is our friend, our 16-year-old friend from Oregon who is... We'd have him on the show anyway, and we did before this, but he's actually getting high school credit in public school in his charter school for being on the radio late at night with the Freedom Fiends. Man, I wasn't allowed up that late when I was your age. So, Nick, tell us about yaks, Nick.
So, yaks are a small creature related to cattle. They're in the same family, so they can interbreed with cattle, but they're different species, I guess.
What do you call a mix between a cattle and a yak?
Ooh, I don't know, but
should. Go ahead.
I have a question too. So, just like when you breed horses and donkeys, you get a mule, but mules cannot interbreed. I think they're sterile, right? Is that the same? Is that the case when you breed a cow and a yak?
I keep forgetting, and I keep thinking that it isn't true, but if I know anything about science, it should be true.
Okay. Yeah. All right, continue.
But I don't know it's called, the mix between a cow and a yak. But
it's called a lulu or a dazu, DZO.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Neat.
Cack. And they're infertile.
Okay.
And they
that
are.
Makes sense.
They're yak and cattle are often crossbred in India, Nepal, Tibet, and Mongolia. Yep.
Yeah, but the mix between a buffalo and a yak is a yakalo, and I really want to see some of those.
A yakalo. Yep.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So I've got 6 yaks currently. I have 2 cows who have at least had 2 calves in their lifespan. And they've given birth for me once. I bought them bred. And then I have 2 bulls who are about a year old. I'm going to butcher one this spring, and I'm very excited about that. I'm going to be able to start selling yak meat and get that out on the market.
Wow. If you make some yak jerky, send me some. I'd like some. I'll pay for some. Yeah.
I tell you, yeah, me too, definitely.
I've had yak jerky, and it tastes all right. I mean, jerky is pretty much all the same to me.
It's basically
do it the right way.
Meat turned into leather with salt. But it travels well.
Yeah.
And, I have another question. Do you develop relationships with your yak? Your yaks?
I've been in 4-H since I was like 10 years old. So the past 6 years, I've been desensitized to animals. So I have a... I like to be friendly with my animals. I like them to be friendly with me, but I don't name them and I don't really have a desire to.
Yeah. I find that not naming an animal helps if you're not going to have it the rest of your life. And my experience with that is with cats, and no, it was not for cat meat production. It was, when I lived in San Francisco, I volunteered at the SPCA as a cat socializer, which was a pretty cool gig. Maybe I'll link some cat socializer pictures from back when I used to do that. If nothing else, people will get to see me when I was skinny and younger. It's just kind of funny. But and they're actually, I had to find them on archive.org, the Wayback Machine. You know, like it archived my website that's not up anymore that has pictures of me with the little baby kittens. And what cat socializing is, it sounds communist. It's not. It's basically teaching cats to be adoptable. Like if you just have kittens you know, in an animal shelter and they're in a cage and they're never petted and they're never talked to and they're never played with, they aren't very adoptable. They will be hissy spitters is the word for it. And they literally hiss and spit and they're not very friendly and nobody will want to adopt them. So what I did voluntarily was I would get two or three baby kittens, like a couple weeks old. Even one time I got some that were like 3 days old with their mother. You know, but that was the only time I got an adult cat. It was all kittens and I would keep them for like 2 months. And then they would be friendly by then. And they'd, you know, they'd have enough weight on them that they could be adopted out. And I'd take them back to the SPCA and they would adopt them out at 1 month or, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks usually. And I had like 50 or 60 cats over a couple of years time, you know, kittens always at, you know, two or three at a time. And that's really fun volunteer work, man. And most animal shelters, at least most SPCAs, will let you do that if they check you out and know that you're not going to make cat jerky. So, but I never named them because it made them hard to give them back. So, yeah, I could definitely see why you wouldn't want to name animals that you're going to turn into food.
Yeah. It reminded me of a Walking Dead episode where Carl named one of their pigs and his, you know, and Rick advised him not to name the pigs. So makes sense. And also Charlotte's Web, where Fern names the pig Wilbur. And she was advised not to do that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been my experience with sheep. And when you first raise an animal, of course, it's sad to give it to sell it and you know it's going to be butchered, but you get used to it. And I just don't have that much of a compassion towards animal, not to sound like a mean guy, but you know. But yeah, I do develop a relationship with all my animals if I can. The yaks are not as friendly as I wish they would be. I don't work with them enough, but my pigs are very friendly and I only have named the breeding pair that I have of the pigs. Mm-hmm. But the rest of them, they all know that if I come by, they get to get scratched behind the ears. And,
aww.
And that's always fun.
I petted a camel when I was in Dubai. I also rode one.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They're pretty neat animals. Something cool about camels I've heard of is that they milk them. Did you see mm-hmm. any of that in Dubai?
I did not see any camel milking. We, you know, it wasn't terribly rural, but they do that. Yes, especially the Bedouin. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they keep camels and they definitely drink camel milk. And so I'd be interested in tasting camel milk.
Yeah.
I've heard that it's good for people that have like a lactose intolerance, but maybe I'm thinking wrong.
Yeah, that and probably goat milk too.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Or better. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. Yes.
Interesting. It is interesting. I don't know really. I don't have a lot to offer in the yak discussion other than, wow, the
yaks.
Things you hear on radio. You know, where did we went from? In hour one, we were talking about the immorality of governments fondling women at airports, and now we're talking about yak husbandry. Is that the term? Do you call it husbandry?
I have not, but yeah, that would be a correct term.
That's
I call
such
it
a weird term,
farming or ranching.
Yeah, husbandry sounds like you're marrying the animals or something. And that
which
ain't
is
right.
Not going on.
And if we have gay marriage, we'll lead to yak on camel on tree marriage. Yeah.
Yak. Yeah, you probably can't breed yaks and camels. I doubt they'd be attracted to each other.
Not at all. Yaks are very mean towards other animals.
Do you have other animals?
Yeah, I've got pigs and they run on the same pasture. My sister has goats and they've ran a little bit with the yaks. They've been put together just a bit. And then we've had a few cows that we threw in there with the yaks too, and the yaks just did not get along with any of them.
The yaks are the curmudgeons of the animal world.
Yeah.
So tell me something more about yaks, Nick.
So yaks are used for meat, dairy, and hair. And currently I have not gotten anything but a few dreadlocks from their hair that the hair falls off. And
maybe you have to brush
the summer.
Them every day.
Well, yeah, when it gets into spring, I'll be able to brush them. Right now, I don't have a system to really catch the yaks. I'm working on that. I have a, it's called a squeeze. You run an animal, usually cows in there, and you, it's a, I don't know how to exactly to explain it, but if you want to look it up, it's a squeeze shoot. Temple Grandin is famous for coming up with a lot of ideas for squeeze shoots.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my great-grandfather invented the cattle chute and had it stolen from him and patented by somebody who made millions of dollars on it.
Dude, it's the best invention ever.
Is it?
If you're a yak rancher.
That's
or
from my
cattle
family,
rancher.
That's from my family.
That's awesome.
Yep, yep.
Because it's super useful.
And you know, that's I'm telling the truth, or at least what my family told me, and I believe it because of something that's not verifiable, there are things that would impress people a lot more that you could make up. Most people don't even know what a cattle chute is.
Oh, so yeah. I looked up a squeeze machine or squeeze chute by Temple Grandin, and she called it a hug machine. Yeah, it's a deep pressure device designed to calm hypersensitive persons, usually individuals. Oh, okay, I see what
persons?
This is. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, I went to the wrong site here, but I think it's also something similar is used for the squeeze chutes.
So she got the idea of making these squeeze chutes or squeezes for people, I think, from the actual cattle chutes, and she is. I mean, she's brilliant. She was really brilliant, and she figured out, she knew just a lot about how to manage cattle, and she's responsible for the math behind the curvature of a chute that goes into the squeeze, which is, I don't know how she did it. It's way beyond me, but it has something to do with cows not being able to see what's around the corner, so they keep going. And eventually they get to that chute where you can trap them and squeeze them, and that calms them while you do whatever you need to do with them. If you're getting them used to being milked, then that's what you use to train them to get milked so they don't kick at you. Or if you're branding them, you use that so they can't kick at you either, or ear tags or whatever.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. So, you know, Temple Grandin, she was autistic. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, came up with that because of, you know, kind of needing that, it has something to do with relieving the sensitivity to sensory stimulation. And I'm wondering if the whole idea, Michael, have you heard of the thunder shirts for dogs?
No, the only thing I can think of is there's something called thunderwear, which is concealed carry underwear for guns. Yeah.
Anyway, thunder shirts do kind of the same thing. They squeeze the dog, make it feel like it's being hugged.
Oh, like during a thunderstorm. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Freedom Fiends, and we were talking about yaks and in Oregon, and we're moving from Oregon over to Japan to talk about the loneliness problem there. That is bizarre to me. You were talking about hugging devices to calm animals, and there is something called a hugging chair, which is popular in Japan. Does anyone want to talk about the hugging chair?
Yeah, I think it's sad that you need
explain
because
it.
You can't
describe the picture. Explain what we're talking about here.
The picture is the picture, and it's from the NewYorkDailyNews.com or NYDailyNews.com website, and it's a company that has unveiled an anti-loneliness hugging chair that makes you feel safe. And the picture depicted is a young lady sitting in a chair that looks like a giant doll. With a friendly face and a fetching hat. and the doll has these long arms that wrap around the user in an affectionate embrace, and it makes you feel safe.
Yeah.
But it's designed more for older people, and they're selling the chair at the International Home Care and Rehabilitation Exhibition in Tokyo. So, you know, what makes me feel even sadder is, you know, it's designed to lift the spirits of older people who increasingly live on their own. And
it's not just for older people, though.
Yeah.
And Nick, do you have the Cat Cafe article up?
Yeah, the Wikipedia.
Yeah, read a little bit of that. It's a thing that's common in Japan now too, and it's for younger people. Often, you know, usually, you know, like teenage girls and you know, young 20-something girls, but all ages of people, and you know, men and women, pay money to go into a place to pet cats because a lot of housing in Japan doesn't allow pets. A lot of people live with their parents until they're in their 20s and 30s in Japan. And they need, you know, comfort of an animal. So, I mean, it's kind of sad, but it's kind of, I'm glad they have it. It's better than not having it. Yeah.
Yeah,
and they have bunny cafes too, but you know, read a little bit of this article, Nick.
Sure. So it looks like it was the world's first cat cafe was opened in Taiwan in 1998. And then there's actually quite a few, and there's a lot in, the United States. Of course, there's one in Portland, one in Oakland.
Is there one in Portland for like stone socialist hipsters to go in and pet cats?
I bet they are. So it says Purrington's Cat Lounge. It looks like they have signed a lease, but have not opened yet. I'll go to their Wikipedia page two.
Yeah, so basically it's this, but I've also been looking a lot at this site called ingrish.com, ENGRISH.com, which is, you know, Ingrish is a mispronunciation of English. A lot of Asian cultures have a problem with the L word, the L sound and the R sound. And that's kind of a cliche, but it's actually true because they don't have that sound. So they tend to say Ingrish instead of English. The thing is, okay, some people think that site's racist. It's really not, and it's actually run by a guy who loves Japanese culture, who lived in Japan for 10 years and goes over there frequently, who is just amused by, it's not just that their English is wrong. I mean, and you know, how good is my Japanese? It's non-existent. You know, anybody that's from another country, they can speak another language at all, I have respect for. But in a lot of... The Orient. That's how old I am. Oh, you can't call it that anymore. My mother had a store called Oriental Bazaar by Virginia that sold things from Asia when I was a kid. So I'm kind of let, you know, like that's what I grew up was calling it the Orient. In Asia, a lot of signage on companies is in English, and it's pretty funny that it's not only like wrong, but like it's wrong to the point of being kind of hilarious. So I've been looking at this site a lot too, but the main thing, like here's one. Okay. This is from, doesn't say what country, but it's in a hotel and it's a toothbrush and it's wrapped up and it says, "Toothbrush, thank you for using me. It is my pleasure to serve you. I hope to be used by you again," which is actually perfect English. But it's unintentionally hilarious, you know. Let's see. Here's a tag in some clothing. It says, "Professional clean only. Do not wash or dry clean by fabric method." I mean, that's, you know, you know, here's a sign where there's a fence over a ledge. And it says, "Don't cross any railings lest suddenness happens." Which is also good, you know, it's reasonably good English, but it's kind of funny. All right, here are some scones in a store in, actually in Vancouver, Canada, but it's a Chinese bakery in Vancouver. Or no, Japanese. It's the prices in yen for some reason in Vancouver, Canada. But it says scorn instead of scones, you know, scorn. But looking through this site,
I'm looking at
a
it.
Lot of yeah. We'll talk about it when we get back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you.
Yeah.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms. What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience blood pressure or laughter last longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
Hey, this is some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the you know, their ideals. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. And I want to do a shout out to my friend Jim's Indiegogo campaign, Libertarians Against Humanity, Volume 1, which is a card game. It's a expansion pack for Cards Against Humanity. And you don't have to know what Cards Against Humanity is to enjoy this. I would recommend you go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com, read the information, and then click on the link over on the right that says Get Physical Cards. He's doing an Indiegogo campaign to raise money to print these cards and make them available to people. And you get copies if you donate, and he makes them. And they're really funny. And I actually have, he had like one deck made up by the company, you know, to see what a good job, if they did a good enough job, and they did a great job. And he sent me like not a full deck. So I'm playing with not a full deck. He sent me like 10 or 12 cards, but it's enough to actually play. And it's really funny. And some of the, I wrote a few of the cards in them, and some of them are fiends specific, and they're pretty funny. And I'd really recommend, if you can't spell it, just Google Libertarians Against Humanity. It's a long URL. You know, don't, I started typing, I was typing Librarians Against Humanity, which should be the next one, I think. I also think there should be Cats Against Humanity eventually. And, also it'd be really cool, I think, if there was English Against Humanity, because an English version of this would be hilarious. Now, we were talking about sadness in Japan, and we got kind of fallen down some wormholes where we're going to continue to dig on English.com. And if you want to play the home game version, it's ENGRISH.com. And the thing I was trying to find on here, and we'll probably find some reading these out loud. I haven't found one yet, but a lot of the ad copy for the, you're reading them, you're laughing. A lot of the ad copy in China and Japan in particular, and especially Japan, tends to really kind of paint this picture of like adults in those countries as being like Eloi, you know, which is, do you know what Eloi are? It's in the H.G. Wells book, The Time Machine.
Oh yeah.
They travel into the future, into the year 800,002-701. And humanity is involved into two separate species, the Eloi and the Morlocks. And the Eloi are childlike and frail, living a banal life of ease on the surface of Earth, while the Morlocks live underground, tending machinery and providing food, clothing, and infrastructure. So it's kind of like the frail childlike ones on the surface are kind of make slaves out of the Eloi, but in a way, they're kind of enslaved by their own tenderness and inability to like deal with anything. And Japan and China, and Japan in particular, have kind of, they have this interesting problem, which is, there's a bunch of interesting problems related to their sadness there. One is that they have an extraordinarily high rate of people dying alone and not being found for a long time. Mm. Because they used to like, it used to be where, you know, the kind of culture where seven, you know, four generations would live together, and you'd never, never let your great grandmother go off and live alone. You'd take care of her, and it would be an honor. But the post-industrial Japan is really affluent and really mobile. And like a lot of pictures of this on where this English site is like, hipster young people wearing the latest styles that like they didn't really pick. They just kind of like you just buy coolness there. And they're using like the latest chromed robot phone and texting their friends. And like that's their life. And they live with their parents and they don't have to work and their parents don't mind them being around. It's kind of this like perpetual childhood, which is kind of weird and creepy to me. And I think it is a result. I think governments have a lot to do with this because I think governments kind of overprotect people and people expect governments to protect them to the point where it becomes the norm to feel like you shouldn't have to be protected, you know, in kind of this perpetual childishness or childlikeness to the point where people, you know, I think like California is kind of like that too. I think there's a lot of people in California and any kind of nanny state place in America where like people kind of, you know, like where they teach you, like if there's an active shooter in your school, hide under your desk, duck and cover like we did from the Russian nukes. And it's like,
yeah,
I'll tell you this. I mean, I have a gun on me most of the time, but if I were somewhere where someone came in and started shooting people and for some reason I didn't have any gun, like, you know, if it was the post office or if it was a government building where I don't bring my gun in, I would try to stop that person, man. I would try to tackle them. I would try to hit them with any object I could. I would do something. I wouldn't curl up in a ball. You know, I would probably hide and try to get out of the way and then figure out what to do. But I wouldn't curl up in a ball, cover my eyes, and hope it ends soon, which is kind of the Eloy response. And okay, enough of that politicking. Let's have some fun and go round robin reading English. All right, you go first, Diana. And okay. Again, describe the product or service and then read the thing.
Okay, so this is in the category for transportation, and this is a touring company, and it's called, the caption is, The Dysfunctional Tour Company. And on the side of this van, it's written, I hope our trip will be wonderful. Every encounter, keep treasure. Leave heart of everyone. Connect, they misspell connect. Connect our friendship.
Yeah.
To my dearest, very thank you for saying, try hard to me, even though you were disgusted with me and being glad together.
That's funny. That's kind of poetic though, for some of it. And a lot of it is kind of overly poetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's one that's like a t-shirt with a picture of a penguin and it says, and this is in Japan, it says stability of a penguin. He prays for peace of the sea than anyone. All right, Nick, what do you got? English me.
There's a picture of steps and it says, please slide carefully.
All right. I'm looking at a hat, you know, like a baseball style hat in a store in Japan that has like pictures, you know, an image of palm trees and a sunset. You know, it looks like an ad for Hawaii or something. And it says shaven heads. For no reason. All right, Diana.
Here's a store called Womb. W-O-M-B, Womb.
Womb. Here's a sign on the Great Wall of China that says, you know, it's got Chinese and then it's got the English translation below. And it says, heart cerebral disease sufferer, ascend the Great Wall to please watch for. And some of these, it's pretty obvious what they mean. Like that means, you know, look out for frail, old, you know, people with medical problems or help them. I don't know. Or don't push them, I guess. I don't know.
Don't push them.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. It's a shirt with, you know, the finger pointing. It's like kind of the Uncle Sam. We want you. It says, our want you.
Our want you.
Yeah. Here's one that's men's underwear in a store in Japan. And it says, men's underwear. It's an underwear presented to manly men. All right, Diana.
There was a shirt with the caption on the front of it in sequins for, it looked like it's for men. It says, self-excited.
All right. Here's a menu in Beijing, China, and it's for orange juice on the menu, and it says healthy pleasure orange. This juice is full of vitality promoting nutrients and will help you feel full of beans. And full of beans is a phrase is in England that I don't think means, does it mean like full of, I don't think it means full of energy. I think it means like you're full of crap, doesn't it? Like you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you're full of beans. No, full of beans is full of vitality. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans means you're full of crap. All right. So what you got, Diana?
A bag of candy. It's butter and salt candy. And underneath it says, I am sorry that I cannot tell this deliciousness in a single word.
Here's a nightclub in Japan that, you know, I think it's supposed to be called Celebrity Club, but the sign on it says Club the Celebrity. And the caption they've put on it is, I love Ryan Seacrest night.
Oh no.
Here's a Band-Aid that says Queer Aid, and it says mint flavored. So it's a mint flavored Queer Aid battery. That's so weird. All right, what you got?
So weird.
Okay, here's a girl wearing this shirt. It says, if fate is being connected. There's no space in between fate and is. If fate is your fate and lamb, but one sen, but hen, I touch you, you make me or make he whole again.
What? That's wow. There's one that's I can't find it right now, but it's amazing. It's amazing that like they pay money to make signs, and some of them are like etched into rocks. I mean, they're like permanent. You know, some are just scribbled in a hotel somewhere, and some are printed menus. But it's I would think that they would pay somebody, you know, in America or in England or even in India to like check these translations. And that could be done pretty cheaply, but they don't. There's one that's like a giant banner in a subway station or a train station that's, you know, probably it's the length of a big room. You know, it's probably 50 or 60 feet long and 10, you know, six or 8 feet high. And it says, enter words here to translate to English. You know, it's like what's in the computer translation program before you put something in. And they actually like somehow that ended up on the sign. Huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep.
This is a Chinese beer. It says on the side, drink to heart's content to think of home feeling. inebriate American heart totally.
Here's a children's jacket that on the back of it has a drawing of a donkey and says, donkey brings you happy with joy.
These are funny.
Here's a store called Mom's Mustache.
Oh, no.
Okay, go on, Nick.
There's a picture. It's a sausage salami. It's called raw salami.
Here's a cliff, you know, like at a out in the forest somewhere. And there's a cliff with a drop that looks about 200 feet. And there's a sign that says, be careful, the safe, no jumping. No jumping. Like, don't kill yourself. I mean, you would die, obviously, if you jumped off of this. Here's a kids wear place that says kids swear. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right, Freedom Fiends, it's the end of the show. And we're just reading from English.com because we think that's good radio. And, you know, Freedom Fiends, actually, it's just a plot to, like, get you guys to get the listeners to trust us and think that, you know, it's like hanging out with your friends when you listen to the Fiends. And, and then we can deploy our true plans.
And we can tase you with liberty.
We can tase you. That's our true plan. So, yeah, we're on Engrish.com, E-N-G-R-I-S-H.com, a collection of signs around the world written by people with English as a second language. And again, we're not making fun of these people. All I can really say in any other language is, like, I can order a taco in bad Spanish, you know, broken Spanish. And I can say, since I toured with Germany with my band, I can say, where do I plug in the amplifier? And I can say, will you sleep with me? And I can say, where's the bathroom? And, you know, how much money? So that's about it. Oh, I can also say, it is not for you, which is a saying there. Like, none of your business is, es ist nicht für dich. It means it is nothing for you. And I always say, es ist nicht für Katzen, which is what I say to cats when they get on places they shouldn't be. It means it is nothing for cats. So speaking of the top of the refrigerator, here's an English sign that says, please turn off an inside switch when the motor sound of the refrigerator is anxious. I used to have a friend who I'd call him. He lived with his family when I was a teenager. And, you know, he was my age. I was like 17 or something. And I would call him and his family... I was just going to talk about how when people say, I'm anxiously awaiting your call, that's kind of ridiculous because that means I'm like cowered in fear in the corner.
Yeah.
And that's what they used to say. Like, oh, well, yeah, we've been anxiously awaiting your call. All right. So go ahead, Nick.
All right. I've got one. It's a packet of dog treats. And it says, shiny dog in sauce and salsa.
Shiny dog in sauce and salsa. All right. What do you got, Diana?
Well, this is on their store, which I'm loving, but it's a mug. It says on the side of the mug, I hate my life. Every day I polish my revolver and I shoot my head like a rock star.
That is really gross, man. It sounds like you couldn't really do that every day, though, too.
It's no.
Once. Yeah.
Every day I shoot my head like a rock star.
I don't know of any rock stars that have shot themselves in the head with a revolver. You know, the classic case that comes to mind is Kurt Cobain, but he shot himself with a shotgun, which is, you have to be pretty dedicated because basically you have to put your toe through the trigger to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad rented a house to somebody who killed himself in the house, and my dad had to clean it up because this was back in the day and there weren't like companies dedicated to cleaning up suicides like there are now. So, yep.
Sunshine Cleaning Company.
Yeah. All right. So read me another one, guys.
Here's I think it's a shirt, but it says, dear my sweetheart, hello, how are you? I think of you every day, your eyes, your hairs, and your voices. I imagines it always. I love you. Please look at my eyes and kiss me.
That's almost on the Eloy level scale there of like, but it's kind of just romantic. There's a lot of romantic stuff, but you know, some of it is just kind of like pleadingly romantic to the world. And I mean, it's like, you know, I don't picture a lot of people in America who would wear a t-shirt in public showing to everybody and saying, please love me. I love love very much. I love to be loved. Please. You know, it would seem desperate, but it's acceptable and common in Japan.
Here's one, Eric Crapton.
Eric Crapton.
Yeah. Here's another very, I guess, kind of downtrodden type mug. Continued, unmeasured, endless despair, however, alive.
I'm going to look at the clothing specific. The clothing is the one where you find the real, like, saddest, weird one. Here's a funny one, though. Here's a Chicago. It says the Chicago Cups. It's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cups, which you watched in your pup.
Here's a woman with a t-shirt that says, Burnish loves you, rain or shine. Meet an assortment of very special ... Yeah. All right. It's been a good show, Diana and Nick.
Yeah. Hey.
And Nick's website is anarchoyakitalism.com. That's ANYAK.com. ANYAK.com.
Make sure you put the dash in there.
Yep. And we'll be back tomorrow night with some more fiends. Worms.
Worms.
Give me a yak sound, Nick. Give me another one.
Sounds like
worms.